that is bothering us. But for one reason or another, we cannot share it with another person, then that problem simply becomes a monster, charging around the forests of our subconscious, wrecking, leveling, destroying. And eventually we lose our balance, our perspective, our control. The problem eats away at us, and we begin to feel after a while that if we cannot talk about it with someone else, we will simply lose our mind. But the two men on the road to Emmaus both had the very same problem. The problem of their own shattered lives, blighted hopes, destroyed love. Jesus, their hero, was dead. Life for them had become senseless, irrational, and perhaps even somewhat dangerous now. And so they simply decided to get out of Jerusalem, go somewhere else, where the pain of all those memories would be lessened, and they might be somewhat safer. And they went on talking about these mutual problems with one another, but in reality, they were not listening to each other. They went on speaking at each other, and frustrated, miserable, self-defeating monologues. They were unable to provide any kind of sympathetic understanding for each other because their fear and their disappointment had isolated them, one from the other. Both men were too preoccupied with their own personal tragedy to listen to each other. And then the stranger came, and he provided understanding, insight, sympathy into what had happened. New explanations on how the living God does work in our lives. And after a while, the strain and the tension began to ease. It all began to make sense. They had not quite understood why it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer, and why they too had to suffer with him. The stranger clarified that problem for them and helped them to grasp why it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer to bring them liberation. And having shared the problem with someone who understood, they all sat down and broke bread together in affectionate fellowship. They now discovered they were having dinner with a friend, a new friend whom they now discovered all the while was an old friend, the risen Lord. Jesus, the risen Christ, was right here in their midst as he is now with us at this moment. And we have, in that charming Easter story, a perfect example of how a community comes into be. A group of isolated individuals with some common interests and concerns encounter a person who touches their depths, appeals to their generosity, their spontaneity, their enthusiasm, and under the influence of such an individual, they come together. They share their deepest feelings, their hopes, their fears, and they begin to understand and discover how much they all have in common as human beings, how much they already belong to each other. And then, after the insight, after the explanations, they always share some kind of a common meal. They go out and have a bite to eat. Where at one time you had isolated individuals, now there is a community. A group of high school athletes is discouraged and disheartened because they've lost a lot of games, and now their coach is replaced to make it even worse. But now the new coach encourages them and says to them, maybe they won't win all the games in the future, but together, they will at least make a presentable showing. And so now again, the team members feel inspired. And then when the coach suggests that they all go out for a bite to eat, they feel even more united. They are no longer losers. They are winners, which is out of the mind. And all of a sudden, the group of disaffected and even alienated athletes becomes a community. So the process that we just heard about in today's gospel is a very natural, commonplace one. Someone comes along, explains our predicament to us, offers us new hope, a chance to begin all over again, and then suggests that we go out and have something to eat. This is precisely what Jesus did with the two people on the way to Emmaus. And that's exactly what we do every weekend when we come here together to church. In the liturgy of the word, we always have explanations, new understanding, and new insights. A new perspective is given to our life by the word of God. And then in the liturgy of the Eucharist, we go to the table of the altar for a bite to eat together. And in the process, we meditate on the word, get to know one another better, and we get to know, above all, Jesus, our brother, our word, broken and shared with us, and the bread that is broken and shared with us. The risen Lord, present here in our midst as he was in the little dining room at Emmaus. It means that we should begin to understand that the psychology that underlines our weekly liturgical experience is really nothing special. It's nothing unique. On the contrary, our Eucharist is something that is just as natural as having a talk with some friends, straightening things out with ourselves and the Lord, and then going out for a Coke and an order of fries. To put it quite simply, we have a church, the body of Christ, the community of the Lord, because it is simply impossible in our difficult lives today to adequately respond to the living God by ourselves. We cannot ever go on as individuals. We always eventually discover that we need to share with one another our new insights, our understandings, our perspectives of our life as the years go on. We discover that we always need the help and the encouragement of other people in the community to reassure each other. And then we come together occasionally in moments of communal love and affection, in which the explanations are concretized. They are given flesh and blood, in flesh, to made real, in a celebration of affection and support for one another. We know that we can share with one another these understandings and insights, support and affection, that we can go on with a new strength and courage, with new perseverance and persistence, with a newfound resourcefulness and resilience, by ourselves, in life. We are always eventually just like those two individual lonely men on the way to Emmaus. We simply cannot hack it alone. The church, is nothing more than a group of Jesus followers who have learned as the years go on, perhaps the hard way, that they cannot hack it by themselves. So they come together because they need one another to really be Christian and to find meaning in their lives. The church is and always will be a group of Jesus' friends who come together to listen to him. And then their hearts begin to burn as he, the Spirit of the risen Lord, living within us personally and in the community, explains what our life is all about. And little by little, we recognize him and one another in the breaking of the bread. In the breaking of the bread, the original name for our Mass. And that's why our Mass is simply a very natural manifestation of a deep human need that all people have to share affection with each other and insight in the performance of a difficult task. Our life is a constant living out of the mystery of the phoenix bird. Each of us is a phoenix bird rising up out of our own ashes of crushed hopes and broken dreams. It's true that sometimes our Eucharist experience here might not always be the sort that gives us the needs of the moment. Sometimes the scripture passages are read poorly, or the homily might be inept, or the Eucharist seem cold and lifeless. Yet, all too frequently, the reason that our liturgies might fail can be found more in ourselves than in these external circumstances. Perhaps there is no affection in our hearts to share with one another. Perhaps on a given Sunday there is no burning desire within us to understand anything. Perhaps sometimes there's no desire to recognize anyone at all in the breaking of the bread. But that is always the ongoing paradox of the Easter Passover mystery. We all receive only to the extent that we are open to respond. We receive only to the extent that we are willing to give of ourselves to others. And that is the secret of how the phoenix bird continues to rise out of its ashes with resurrection power. And that resurrection power of the risen Lord is now ours. That's how we rise. Here now we rise in the breaking of the bread with the Lord's resurrection power.